You know, when you see these kids up here, it's so cute. And you watch them, some of them are so sincere. And some of them, you look at them and you know them. And you can just tell they're waiting for that little mischief to come out. But today's very special, our baby dedication. Today, in this day and age, it's really a challenge, and it would be more of a challenge if you didn't have God on your side to raise your children. But we have three families this morning, and we're going to have them stand. First, I want Christina and Mark to stand. Sister Thorpe is going to pin your corsages and your boutonniere on, Mark. And they have a little boy named David. And he is a cutie. Of course, Dad's beaming like. And then we have Yolanda Ortiz, and we have Tyrone Jefferson that are dedicating Kyla. And Kitty Rossing is going to be doing the duty there. And then we have our old friend, AJ. With his little girl, Lola. So, we're so excited. And Pastor Roy is going to come. And he's going to give us some words of advice.
Thank you, Sister Grant. Well, how many of you know that that's my mom? I had just, this is a true story, just it was within the last 6 months, I had someone ask me in the bathroom trying to figure this out. They said, now I've been coming here for a couple years now, and how much older is the older Grant than you? And I said, I said, I'm not, let me think here. And they were implying that we were brothers, and they were trying to figure this out. They're like, now, if that's your brother, and then they're trying to figure out where Carl and Kyle and Bryce all fit in, and so what I'm working on is putting together a little family sketch up there. And we'll get that all down, because the Grants are related to the Manleys, which are related to the Powells. And we don't have Vern and Carol Washburn here this morning, but my brother Steve was married to Joyce Washburn. And so you've got, as I look out among the crowd, I'm related to quite a few of you in one way or another. So I could see maybe at times where you might would get a little confused, but Pastor John Grant that you see up here that is not here this morning, that is actually my father, okay? So he loves it when people think that we're brothers. Makes them feel real good, I guess, but makes me feel old. But anyway, I'd like to take, I know my father was very disappointed. He was unable to, he loves baby dedications, and he was unable to make it this morning. And I told him that I would take and cover for him. And it's 10 minutes too, and I told the Sunday school to give us a few extra minutes because I want to do something a little bit different at the very end of this message. But we would have to agree that over the past decade, probably even a little longer than that, that families as we know it, we're kind of under, our family units are kind of under attack all over the world. It's not just here in America that I feel like our families are struggling. It's just all over the world. And over the past few years here in America, the God-ordained, what we look at is the God-ordained family unit has really taken a number of direct hits from the highest court in the land, the Supreme Court, all the way down to the local clerks who issue marriage license. When it comes to marriage as we know it, as we have known it in the past, has been redefined, and they have new definitions for marriage now. And families, when we look at families have been redefined, and It's really pretty much defined as the however you want to define it. Whatever works for you, whatever works for your family. You can kind of come up with your own definition, and this is how we do our family. And if you don't agree with that new definition, or you don't agree with the new definition of marriage, you know, quite often you're called a homophobe, or you're called a bigot, you're called all different types of names. But I just want to challenge you today, not just as the parents of the children that we're dedicating, but all of us in here. We saw all of those children up here, and all of those children belong to someone out there. So I just want to take and challenge all of us this morning as parents that as we as Christians, we must teach our children and we must train our children to live in the world in which we live in. And that is a difficult task. That is very difficult. We must teach them the ways of God. We must teach them God's will for their lives. And when we have successfully raised our children, we will have accomplished something, what I consider to be one of the greatest callings in life of the highest magnitude, is to raise our children up in the ways and admonition of the Lord. When we look at life, there's no other job in life which comes close to weighing in that compared to the raising of our children. I believe that each generation's responsibilities is that of raising up the next generation of children, which will become our youth, and those youth will become the young adults, and then they will lead us and grow us into our future. I believe it was Whitney Houston, I'm not for sure if she wrote the song or sang the song, that I believe that children are our future. Teach them well and lead the way. And this is something that I believe in, and I totally believe this in my heart, and I think I could go in and prove it to you that over the past decades, as the family unit has broken down, we can't necessarily blame it on this generation. Every generation beforehand has to take and shoulder a portion of the blame because they allowed things in their generation to break down. And then as a result, that broken down portion of that generation is passed on to the next generation. And over time, you can see how our values and our moral system is totally eroded to where it is today. As I spoke of last Sunday night, in the book of Malachi, the Bible says that everyone did that which was right in their own eyes. One time, we did have a moral compass in our world. We did have a moral compass in our nation. I believe that children, your children, are your greatest investment in the future. The Bible is clear when it reminds us that children are a precious gift from God. I've heard it said more times, and I said the same thing when I brought our daughter home from the hospital. I wish that she came with an owner's manual. I wish there was something that I could take and turn to a particular page and say, this is what's happening. Where do I turn in this book and figure out how to take and solve this particular problem? And all of you that are parents here this morning, you probably felt that same way when you leave the hospital and you have all of the support staff there and you go out and you get in your car and you drive away and you have that sinking feeling that, wow, this little baby is it's our responsibility to grow and teach and to train. In each family, there's always someone that knows everything there is to know about how to raise kids. You know, it's been said that opinions are everywhere. I heard one person say this, that opinions are like belly buttons. Everyone has one. And that's true. If you're not for sure, go home and look. But I'm pretty sure. But there really is a book. There really is a book that you can take and you can turn to for whatever ails your family, whatever problem that you're encountering. And that is what I would call the book. And this morning, for a brief few moments, I'm going to try to hurry through this. I don't want to rush through this, but I want to talk about raising children by the book. By the book. Psalms 127:3-5 says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man who hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. When we look at this, it's telling us that having a lot of children is a real honor in the society that was in which the days that this were written. And we look at today and how children today are sometimes, and I'm not saying reflecting anyone here this morning, but just across the board, it seems like children are sometimes looked at as an inconvenience in our lives, and children are looked at as a nuisance, and we want to take and push them away and get them out of the room, and because they're sometimes noisy and obnoxious, and some people talk about, well, you know, we want to have children because, you know, the more children we have, the more tax credits we get, or the more special benefits that we get, and that's the wrong reason to have children. Instead of seen as a blessing, parenting is often seen as a burden. It's often seen as a pain. And we have, in essence, children. We have adults who have really never had to bear any form of responsibility today. When I look out across our world today and I see what is happening, and sometimes it frustrates me, it grieves me, but we have children that are out of control simply because we have parents that are out of control. That's what it boils down to. Society has begun to spun out of control, and I'm afraid that we are in this death spiral that we cannot pull out of, barring some great miracle of worldwide repentance where all of the world falls on its knees and says, Lord, we want to have a start over. We want to do over. I want to do over with this. But we must remember that our children have been placed in our lives for just a few short years. And in those few short years, it's our responsibility to raise them and to mold them into the image of Jesus Christ. I look at my daughter now. I don't see her here this morning, but I know she's been having she had some surgery back earlier in last week, and she's kind of a little slow recovery on it. But I look at her at 30 plus years old now. She's married. Marvin, her husband, is back sitting back here, and two grandchildren. Boy, does time fly. It's hard to believe sometimes when I have little Ava and Cole over, and especially when it was just Ava, it was almost like I was re-raising Lana because she looked so much like Lana. And I'm like, where have the years gone? This is my grandchild now. I'm not old enough to be a grandpa. Man, it's great though. For those of you grandpas in the crowd and grandmas in the crowd, it's awesome being a grandma and a grandpa. I want to read this morning from Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9, and we're going to kind of preach this as we go along. It says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments. Notice the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments with the Lord, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. This is the Israelites going to be going into Israel, into Canaan, the promised land. And this is God speaking to Moses, through Moses to them, telling them that when you go into that land, there's going to be some commandments, there's going to be some statutes, and there's going to be some judgments, and that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God and keep all of his statutes and his commandments, which I commend thee, thou and my son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. So he's telling Israel to take and these commandments, these statutes, and these judgments, you teach them to your children. And you teach them to your children's children and your children's children's children all the days of their lives. So that what? So that their days may be prolonged. So that they may have a good, long, healthy, blessed life. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to it, to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. Now listen what he continues to tell them. And thou shalt teach them, speaking of your children, diligently. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Teach what? Teach these words. Teach my word unto your children diligently, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. So when your kids are sitting in the house, you teach them diligently about the word of God. And when thou walkest up by thy way, or by the way, so when you're out on a walk and you're outside playing, to teach your children diligently. When thou liest down, when you get ready to put them in bed, teach them diligently. Tell them about the Lord and how he has affected and his greatness. And it says, when thou risest up. So in the morning, the first thing that he commanded them to do when their children rose in the morning was to teach them. Who caused the sun to rise this morning? And thou shalt write them upon thy posts and thy house and thy gates. So today we would say, thou shalt write them upon thy stove, thy refrigerator, on the bathroom mirror, all of those little crafts the children bring home from Sunday school, put them on the refrigerator so that the children can see to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all the soul, all thy might. When we look at this passage, we can break this down as parents. If we desire to have godly children, children who live right, children who live by this book, as parents, we must live by this book. To be a successful parent, it begins with a strong relationship with God. One cannot succeed in helping your child grow into the image of God unless we as parents, we actually know God and have a relationship with him. In other words, you will never be able to lead your children somewhere that you yourself have never been. We need to teach our children to fear the Lord. A parent's primary responsibility is to walk in the fear of the Lord and to follow in his word and follow in his book. We are to have a fear of the Lord. We are to fear his majesty and fear his holiness. The problem is today, in the age that we live in, there is no longer a fear for the Lord. He is mocked. He is cursed. Movies are made of and made fun of him. We are to bring our lives under the God's lordship and his leadership. A godly parent places God's will for their lives and their families above all other considerations. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If we fear the Lord, we will obey his word. Why do we obey the law? Think of that. Why do we obey the law? We obey the law because we're afraid of getting a ticket if we speed. There's a fear there that if I speed, this is going to cost me something. That's why the law works. And the reason the law of God is not working as effective as it should today in our society and in our families is because we've lost that fear of the Lord. You see, God's standards need to be our standards. When God speaks, we are to respond by doing what he tells us to do. We need to flee those things which he forbids us to do. We have the old saying, monkey see, monkey do. Children see, children do. You see, children are like cement. They're very impressionable. But over a period of time, that cement, it hardens. And whatever impression is in it, it generally stays in it. And it's very difficult to remove it. So we have to be very careful. Children will often model what they see in life. They will often model what they see in your life as a parent. How many times as a parent have we said, I wonder where he got or I wonder where she got that from? Probably from mom or dad. A good chance, okay? You see, kids will carry away from your home many of your actions and many of your reactions. So what goes on in the home, how the home is affected, is how the kids are affected. You see, God promised Israel that when they followed after his word, he would bless them and reward their lives. This month, we have been talking about the whole month of February about sowing and reaping. And I'd like to add a little bit of that in here today. God has promised in Psalms 1, 1 through 3, and I'm not going to read all of this morning, but God has promised to bless those who walk in His will and follow His word. So if you want to have a blessed family, you want to have blessed children, we as parents take, and that blessing is really rested upon us as parents on whether or not our children are going to receive that blessing. Because if we walk in His will and we follow after His word, that's going to automatically go into our children. But if we stray away from the word of God and we walk away from the word of God and we begin to take and live our own lives and how we want to live them, as I spoke of sowing and reaping, what you are sowing right now, you will reap tomorrow. What you sow into your children today, trust me, as these little children, what you sow in them today, you will reap in them as teenagers. And all the teenage parents of teenagers say amen. We all know what we did wrong when our children were 2, 3, 4, and 5 years old, when they're 15, 16, 17, and 18. But it's a whole lot harder to fix it when they're 15, 16, 17, 18 than when they're 2, 3, 4, and 5. All right? So I'm going to take our children need to see that God will do exactly what He says He will do. We wonder why our children don't have faith in God is probably because we as parents don't have the faith in God that we need. And our children need to see that. So our children need to know, and I spoke of this last Sunday night a little bit, our children need to know that God will bless them when they give. Malachi 3, 8 through 10, and we're not going to put those, this is just references only. But we have families here that their children, when they get an allowance, we have one family that their children sometimes get 50 cents allowance, and they tithe on the 50 cents. It's so cute. It's sweet when you look at it, and they turn in their tithing. And then you see they'll give like 2 pennies to Sunday school and 2 pennies to bus ministry or 2 pennies to missions. And you say, you know, that is just really, is that really worth it? But see, you're laying a foundation. You're laying a principle there. And you know what? I've seen these children grow up. I know one particular, and I won't use the name because I don't want to embarrass the individual. I don't consider it an embarrassment. I consider it a blessing. But I know when they were children, their tithe, their parents did the same thing to them. And I see them being blessed by God in a mighty way in their work and in their home. And I see how God has taken and propelled them forward financially. Why? Because that was instilled in them as a child. And now they've reaping the benefits of that blessing. They're reaping what their parents had sown into their lives when they were children. And it's continuing. They're continuing that, and they're sowing it into their children. Honesty. Philippians 4, 8, and 1 Thessalonians 4, 11, and 12. We need to teach our children that God will bless their honesty. When we're gonna, if our children lie to us, which they will, instead of just necessarily correcting them or not necessarily correcting them for lying, talk to them about how God blesses honesty. Teach them about honesty, faithfulness. Matthew 25, 21. Are you teaching your child or your children that God honors faithfulness? Kids just simply learn what they see, and they will learn exactly what they observe in your life. If you don't give, they won't give. If you're not honest, chances are your children won't be honest. And if you're not faithful, then your children probably won't be faithful. They need to know that God blesses faithful people. They need to know that God wants to bless them so that they can have nice things. And when things go wrong around the house, don't blame God in front of your children for something that you as a parent may be the cause for. It's real easy to have a scapegoat and say, well, God doesn't bless us because He just doesn't like us. Maybe God doesn't bless you because you're not being faithful. And you're not being honest, and you're not being giving. So many times as a parent, I drug my wife and my daughter through all kinds of tough times simply because I was living wrong as a father. I didn't see the value in some of this. I was taught it, and I walked away from some of it because I just developed bad habits. And dads, we can't blame God because of our poor habits. Let's show our children that by serving the Lord is the only way to live, and that by obedience to the Lord always pays off. When your parenting duties are over, and when I say that, I really understand that as a father, I'm never finished being a dad. And that's the awesome part about it. My daughter still calls me, "Dad, can you help me with something?" I like that when she calls me. I like that when I'm able to go down. I know Marvin is capable of doing it. Maybe she's doing it just to make me feel good. I don't know. But I love going down and helping her with little projects around the house. It's nice to feel needed. And when your parenting duties are over, when your children have left home and you've officially, they've moved into adulthood and such, your children will be a living memorial of your investment in their lives. And by the way, just to throw this in there, that if when you come to church and all you do is complain about Sunday school and all you do is complain about the preacher and the way things are done at the Lord's house, it's really hard to teach our children to honor God if we don't honor God in that respect. We have our youth pastor here, Carl and Cecily, and even though they may not always make the exact right choices and decisions on everything, stand behind them. Don't erode their authority. Because you know what will happen? You know what will happen? There will come a day when your children, they will pick up on that. And they will begin to erode your authority. And they will see that, well, you don't honor. Why should I listen to the youth pastor when last Sunday you just ripped them to shreds on the way home? So we have to be careful. So parents, we must live right. I performed a wedding just a week ago on Friday night, and in the vows, there were the words that were mentioned quite often, that we need to love each other. But most of all, as parents, we need to love one another, but we need to love, and our love needs to be focused on the Lord. It's hard to hate your wife or hate your spouse or hate anyone if you focus on the Lord and you pray for that person every day. It's really difficult to have arguments with your wife when you just got done praying for 15, 20, 30 minutes that God would bless her and have a great day. It's really difficult to do that. So we need to be focused on the Lord. Too often parents see parents putting everything in the world way ahead of God. It may be that your job, it may be your hobby. For years in my life, I put other things in front of church and in front of God. I had hobbies that I like to do, and whether I like to admit it or not, those hobbies, if it's something that's in front of God and it's something that is taking the place of God in my life, if I'm going to a train show instead of going to church, I've just put that as an idol in my life. Sometimes it's real easy. We don't call them idols, but that's what it becomes. It's something that I'm placing in my life that is more important to God. So we need to take and teach our children. We need to teach them that, you know what, we're going to Sunday school this morning. I don't want to go to Sunday school. We're going, and you're going to your class. You're not sitting in the sanctuary with mom and dad. You're going to your class because that's Sunday school, and that's where you need to be. And we need to teach them. You see, you fight that battle when they're young, and you don't have to fight it when they get older. So then if they don't go to Sunday school when they're young, they're not going to want to go to youth when they're old. That's just the way it works. They're not going to want to go to youth camps. They're not going to want to go to youth conventions. They're not going to want to go to things like that because we haven't instilled them. So we need to take and we need to teach them, and we need to train them. And we need to take and teach them that if we teach them that God is only a God of Sunday, so if we only come to church once a week and that's on Sundays, then what we're teaching our children is that God is really only a God on Sundays. If they don't hear us praying in the home and they don't hear us talking, if we don't go to Sunday night service or we don't go to Wednesday night Bible studies, then Sunday morning is the only time that they feel that church is important, is on Sunday morning. And they develop this attitude that, well, I just go to church on Sunday mornings. That's why so many children say, well, that they grow up and you hear them talking about their stories. Well, we only went to church on Easter and Christmas. Why? Because that's all they were ever taught. Because that's all their family ever did, is went to church on Easter and Christmas. And see, if we teach our children that, then that's going to be the type of a Christian that they become. They become an Easter Christian, they become a Christmas Christian, or they become a Sunday Christian only. We're to take and we're to study the Word of God. The Bible says that the Word is to be taken in and it's to be allowed to change our lives. And this is sometimes difficult. If I expect my life to impact my children, then I must allow God's Word to impact me. And if I don't allow God's Word to impact me, then there's a problem. If nothing can happen through me, nothing is a father, nothing can happen through me until first something happens in me. So if I want my family to change, if I'm struggling in my family and I want something to change, I need to get into the Word. I need to ask God to change me. And then changing me, then I can change my wife. And by praying with my wife, and we can change our children. In essence, or it's essential that parents have a personal time of prayer and Bible study. You need to be growing so that you can help your children to grow. It's essential, as I said, that you come to Sunday school and that the kids go to Sunday school and you are in here in the main sanctuary and then you're in here with the preaching. You see, it's about teaching them by example and by explanation the things God would have them to learn so that they can live a blessed life. Don't you think that your children deserve the best God has to offer them? Don't you want your children to have the best that God can give them? You see, the problem is that most children turn out just like the way that their parents turn out. If their parents are struggling, then the kids are going to struggle. If the parents struggle spiritually, the children struggle spiritually. Very seldom the children break out of that to where that if the parents are struggling in different areas, that the children break free of that. So it's very important. Get in the Word. Love the Word. And I've got a special ending of this, and I'm rushing through this. I hope you don't feel like I'm rushing. I feel like I am because I'm going over on every third line here in my notes. But maybe I just had too much. I was excited about this morning. Psalms 139:13 tells us that each child is uniquely formed by God. How many of you believe that your children are unique? We have a couple here in our church that have twins, and they look just alike, but they're so uniquely different. Each child is different. When a child will develop and acquire certain traits from being in your home, the child is still an individual before the Lord. There's no child. I don't believe in evolution. I'll just tell you that. I don't believe that children is a product or children are a product of evolution, but each child has been formed by God for a particular function. This needs to be understood by parents when they seek to raise their children. It may be that the Lord has plans for your children that are vastly different from your own plans. And sometimes we see that as children grow up, that the parents try to take and say, this is what God wants you to do, and God is calling the children maybe to be a missionary, and maybe the parent doesn't want them to be a missionary. But all children are gifted in different ways. The wise parent is able to see the differences and raise each children accordingly. Each child, as you look at your children, they all have different interests. I look at my brothers, and I look at my brother John, and I look at myself and my brother Steve, and we all grew up in the same home, but we all grew up so uniquely different from one another. Why is that? Because we all had different interests. We didn't all like the same. Well, we all loved fried chicken. And we all loved mom's homemade French fries that she used to make. Those things we all loved. And when we were younger, mom made one chicken. As we got a little older, it was two chickens. And by the time all of us were teenagers, she was making three chickens. So the family grew and the chicken need grew. But a wise parent trains up a child in the way that he should go. Not according to the parent's will for the child, but according to God's will, who created and is instilled in that child, God's will that is in that child. And we must also understand that each one of our children is born with a sinful nature. You know, when you look at these little babies here this morning, they all look so sweet. Our children look so sweet and innocent, but don't be fooled. yeah. Inside that sweet little innocent child, and we hate to look at this, but there really is. And the quicker we understand this, the better off we are. That inside that little sweet child is really a sinful nature. I think it was David that said we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Inside that little child, there's this sinful nature, and it begins to express itself almost immediately. And as parents, that's where the challenge of teaching our children to do the right thing becomes difficult at times, because they look so cute. But trust me, if you don't correct that when they're little, it's not so cute when they're 10. It's not so cute when they're 12. So if a parent doesn't punish their children, then the children will punish the parent. Trust me on that one. I know enough about life that if we don't take care of the discipline and we don't punish our children, when I say punish, I'm not talking about beating our children, okay? If we don't correct our children, if we don't punish them when they're children, then we will be punished dearly when they get into those teenage years and beyond. So the Bible gives us many good reasons why our children should be disciplined. And Proverbs 22:15 says that chastisement reduces foolishness. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now, my dad didn't use a rod of correction. He uses a belt. He's not here, so I can talk freely about this. And if you could edit this out back there in the sound booth. So, I got a lot of spankings in life. Some of them I didn't deserve. I didn't feel I deserved them anyway. And some of them I knew I deserved. And sometimes I didn't get spankings that my brothers got. And I went in my room thinking, they got my licking because I actually did what they were getting spanked for. You see, but we had this code of ethics among brothers that we were never going to tell on each other. And if it comes around, it goes around. And we may get a free pass one time, but we may have to take your licking the next time. And we just understood that. My parents, I don't think, quite caught on till years later on that. Chastisement reduces foolishness or correction. Chastisement rescues the children from judgment. Proverbs 23:13-14 said, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, if thou correctest him with a belt, spoon, however you choose, he will not die. I remember Sharon Johnson and her son Micah and her going round and around. There wasn't enough wooden spoons in the world to supply Sharon at times. But look at where Micah is today. Micah's not dead. You know, we look at it now. I was born in the 60s, 62, I went through school, and, you know, we still, the teachers didn't always spank us, but, you know, we were disciplined pretty hard. And now, you know, we're kind of turning our kids into just a bunch of wimps and all this and that. This is just my opinion. This is for what it's worth. But you see in families, you see a vast difference of correction from the grandparents to the parents to the children that are growing up. So the way my great-grandparents, you know, my dad was probably beaten with a rod, and he downsized to the belt, and I downsized to the hand. I think I had to spank my daughter twice, is all I can remember. She was one of those real easy ones that if you talked real stern to, she just melted. So, thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. That's pretty stiff words. What the Bible is saying there, that, you know what, if you don't correct your child and they go uncorrected, and they allow this sin, they allow whatever the issue is that you've allowed into their lives by not correcting it, by not driving it out, that their soul can end up in hell. That's pretty strong statement. Proverbs 29:15, chastisement helps them receive wisdom. The rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother, or I would put in here his family, to shame. Your little child wants to touch that hot stove, and you slap their hands. What are you doing? You're teaching that child wisdom. You don't want them to touch that hot stove. What would you rather have them do? Burn their fingers or get a slap on the hand for not touching the stove? Okay, so chastisement brings and receives wisdom. Chastisement helps relieve your anxiety as a parent. Proverbs 29, you notice these are all in Proverbs 29 chapter, so you might want to do a little homework and read that. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest, yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Chastisement helps them to reflect God's character in Hebrews 12, 10 and 11. And chastisement reminds them that you love them. Back in Proverbs 13, 24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him. You see, your children, as children, we may rebel for a while, but you know where home always is. I remember times when I was younger, I just want to run away from home. I'm tired of living here, and my dad's so mean, you want to run away, but I always knew where home was, and I always knew if I ever left, I had a place to go back to. But we must allow God to work on our children. And sometimes our children, as they grow older, and this is for some of you older parents here that have older children, sometimes our children make choices that it grieves us that they make those choices. But always provide a home for them to come back to. It's far easier, I found over the years, it's far easier to build a child than to repair an adult. And that's a pretty blunt statement, but it's easier. If you don't take and raise your child the way that they need to be raised, with the Spirit of the Lord on their life and teaching them biblical principles and such, then as they become an adult, somebody's going to have to spend a lot of time with that child, teaching them and reteaching them and retraining them because they've gone astray. How many hours and hours and hours are spent counseling adults across the world? I know how many hours I spend sometimes a week just talking with people, and it goes back to, well, I've had this habit since I was a child. And it's like if some of these things we could take care of when our children are little, we don't have to worry about it when they're an adult. I have a group of some pastors that are going to be helping me this morning, Brother and Sister Mackey, Brother and Sister Demas, and Brother and Sister Thomas, if they would come. And we're gonna do this a little bit different at the ending here. And if they could take and since all of our parents are on this side and our families, maybe because we're gonna split up a little bit, maybe we could just have one couple here, maybe one in the center and one back over on this side. Maybe that would maybe spread us out just a little bit. And I want to finish. So I want to ask you as a parent, mom and dad. In order for everything to be right in your children's relationship with the Lord, you have to have everything right with your relationship with the Lord. And I want to just challenge you this morning, because after we talk to the parents and after we go through our closing here, we're going to have an altar call and we're going to invite all of the parents to come down. But I want to ask you, to challenge you, is everything right with your relationship with the Lord? Is everything all right with your relationship with your children? And to kind of paraphrase or sum up this message this morning, in order for our children to live right, parents, we must live right. That's what it boils down to. In order for our children to love right and to understand what real love and true love is, parents, we must love right. We must love right. In order for our children to learn right, parents, we must learn right. And at this time, if we could all stand and if we could have our families, I believe, as far as Mark and Christina Nikielski with your family, I think Pastor Thomas is going to be helping out, Pastor, Brother and Sister Thomas, and then Yolanda and Tyrone. I believe it's over here, the Mackeys are going to be taking care of you this morning. And then AJ, you're a single parent. Come on down here, AJ. You got your hands full with a beautiful young daughter, but you've got a lot of support. And I want to just tell you that publicly here. You don't have to do this alone. And Brother and Sister Demas are going to be taking care of this. And then if we could have the families to come in afterwards. So the Nikielski family can come and join behind Christine and Mark. And then the family, if your family members, so if their family members could come forward. There we go. All the family. This is a family affair this morning. Family and friends, I'll put it that way. The family and friends. Mark and Christina, we have David, Amado, Nikielski, Yolanda and Tyrone. We have Kayla Rose Jefferson and AJ. We have Lola and E. Falk. Beautiful children here this morning. Like I said, we're going to do this a little bit different. And I hope this goes over. Sometimes you envision things in your mind and it sounds real well in your mind. But how many of you ever made vows on your wedding day that you would love your husband, your wife? Okay, you make this promise. We're going to do that this morning. This is something, you see, I believe that the family is a divine institution that's ordained by God from the very beginning of time. And that children are a heritage of the Lord committed by Him to their parents for care, for protection, and for training of His glory. It's important that all parents, not just the parents that are standing here in front of us, but all parents recognize this obligation and their responsibility to God in this manner. We look in the Old Testament and Jochebed of old trained her own child Moses after having given him to the Lord. Hannah, we know the story of Hannah, recognized that her child was Jehovah's and she gave her son Samuel, young Samuel, to the priesthood at a very early age. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, brought Jesus as an infant to the temple. They brought him to worship. They had tried to instill the values that they had in him at a very early age. So this morning, I would like to challenge Mark and Christina, Yolanda, Tyrone, and AJ that if you wish to recognize the sacredness of this charge and if you wish to recognize the sacredness of their charge and now bring back to the Lord the treasure in your child, which God has entrusted to you by them, by doing this and recognize and acknowledge their responsibility for the nurture and the admonition. And I want you to just take and your children's names, Mark and Christina, and then Yolanda and Tyrone and AJ. As I read this, I just want you to take to the pastor in front of you and just tell the pastor in front of you the children's name. So by doing this, they recognize and acknowledge their responsibility for the nurture and admonition of your child. In the ways of righteousness and godliness, according to Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9. Just repeat that right after me. Just repeat that to the pastor in front of you. Kind of like when you took your wedding vows. Okay. If it be your desire to dedicate to the Lord today, please respond, we do, to the following. Okay, so I'm going to read, and then you respond, we do. All right? In the sight of God and in the presence of these witnesses, do you promise to bring up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord? Parents, do you promise to lead your child early in their life to have a relationship with Jesus Christ? And parents, do you promise to the best of your ability to set before them examples of godly and consistent lives. It is a must that you have promised before God and these people to dedicate to God and yourselves to the task of raising this child for the Lord. I charge you today to address yourselves faithfully to this sacred obligation with wisdom and with patience and with devotion. It is my blessing that God will bless your home and all of the physical blessings, but as well as spiritual blessings, and that the Holy Ghost will reign in your lives as you continue this most sacred task. In the name of Jesus Christ, we dedicate these children to God and to His service. And at this time, you would take your child and place it into the hands of the minister in front of you. And we're going to pray. Dear Lord, we want to thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to take and be able to dedicate these beautiful children to you. Lord, I understand, Lord, that these children, God, they're yours, Lord. You have given them to us for a period of time, Lord, in which we are to nurture them, to teach them, and to train them. You have given them to us to care for, Lord. Our children, Lord, are our greatest blessings, Lord, that we could ever have in life. And I ask you, Lord, that you would touch each one of these individual children. Lord, I pray, God, that your hand would be upon them, that you would bless them, Lord, in their health, Lord, that you would bless them, Lord, as they grow up, Lord, in the ways of your word, Lord, that the parents, Lord, would be able to take and to instill in them your word, God, and your principles, Lord, that are found in your word. I ask you, Lord, God, that you would touch each and every one of these children. Lord, I pray, dear God, Lord, that they would grow up, Lord, and that they would understand, Lord, that there is a calling for their life, that you have something in them, or there is something in them, Lord, that you desire to bring out, Lord, and that someday, Lord, as they grow, that they will grow in your kingdom, God, and they will become a missionary. Some may be missionaries or pastors or work in Sunday school or whatever it may be, whatever your will is, Lord, that I pray, Lord, that we as parents, Lord, would be able to take and help our children, Lord, to grow up in your will, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. We thank you, Lord, once again for this opportunity to be able to have these children, Lord, in our care, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if we could take and give the children back to their parents, and then as the pastors, if you could lay hands on the mother and the father, and we're going to pray for the families, because this is a family ordeal. Lord, we pray, Lord, for each one of these families. Lord, I ask you, dear God, that your hand would come down, Lord, and that you would touch, Lord, Mark and Christina Nikielski and the Nikielski family, Lord, that as they raise this young David, Lord, as well as the other children, Lord, in the family, God, that your hand would be upon them, that you would bless them, Lord, that you would help Mark and Christina, Lord. I also pray for Yolanda and Tyrone, Lord, as they raise young Kayla, Lord, that your hand would be upon them as a family, God, that you would anoint them, that you would bless them, Lord, that you would help them as parents, Lord, and our friend AJ, Lord, I ask you, God, as AJ raises his young daughter, Lord, that your hand would be upon him, Lord, that their family, God, and the friends that are gathered here today, God, would be able to take, Lord, and would be able to be an influence, a positive, godly influence. I pray, God, that we would teach our children, Lord, and in order to teach them, God, we must be able to take and bear the responsibility. I help, pray, God, that you would help us, Lord, to be responsible, Lord, even sometimes when it's difficult, God. I pray, God, that you would help us to make the right decisions, Lord, make decisions that are godly and based upon your word and upon your precepts and your principles. God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us all together here, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God, praise God. Let's give our parents and families a big hand this morning. And at this time, if our ministers, if they could take take the families out, we usually have a picture time out in the vestibule. So if our families would like to just go ahead and head out there and the Pastor Thomas lead the Nikilskis, and we'll just follow on after. And if our musicians can begin to play. If you're here this morning, I know this is a baby dedication, and we're talking primarily to our parents, but this really applies to anyone. We could say mom and dad. I could say young adult, young person. Is everything right in your relationship with God this morning? Is everything where it needs to be in your relationship with the Lord? I want to open up this altar this morning, or for you to come down if you would like to come down and pray. If you've never repented of your sins, you've never been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's an awesome gift. It's a gift from God. You can start off as a new baby in Christ this morning. You can be 40 years old and be born again. So I want to open up, if you've never repented of your sins or you've never been baptized in Jesus' name or filled with the Holy Ghost, we have prayer teams that will pray with you on this right over on this side. If you're here this morning and maybe everything isn't right in your life and you're struggling and you look at your life and you know where you've went wrong, I don't have to remind you of that. We know what we do, and most of the time we know what mistakes have been made. We just don't exactly know how to correct them. I want to open up the center portion of our altar for you to come down. And you need to make everything right with the Lord this morning. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. If you need healing for your body, maybe you come here today and you're sick, I want to invite you to come down on this side over here. And we'll take and we will pray for you. Pray for you, lay hands on you with oil. So this altar is open at this time if you would like to take and come and pray. If you've never received Bible salvation, my left, your right, you just want everything to be right in your relationship with the Lord, come down in the middle. If you need a healing, over on this side, won't you come this morning?